Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today's Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. It's 9 a.m. at the Palm Coast Community Center for the regularly scheduled City Council meeting. Would you please rise and join me in a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Mayor Nets.
Here.
Vice
Mayor
McGuire.
Here.
Councilmember Duarte.
Here.
Councilmember
Mobile. Here.
Councilmember
Healy. Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you very much. The first item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the September 1st City Council meeting, the September 6th City Council workshop, and the September 9th City Budget hearing. Are there any additions, corrections, or is there a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number two, a proclamation representing September 19th through the 24th as National Estuaries Week. Mr. DiLorenzo.
Whereas the City of Palm Coast estuaries are vital to migratory species as they provide critical habitats for a variety of marine plants and animals, help prevent coastal erosion, are important to recreational and tourist destinations, and estuaries are critical to the health of our oceans. And whereas National Estuaries Week is nationally recognized and is the inspiration for all of those who love and care for our nation's estuaries. And whereas celebrating National Estuaries Week highlights estuaries as critical habitats within Northeast Florida's vibrant ecosystems, provides scientific education, and estuarine environments offer collaboration opportunities for resource management, and educates Florida citizens on how they can help protect these areas. And whereas the occasion for a public awareness campaign to inform people from coast to coast about their connection to these beautiful places and how they can encourage its healthy future. And whereas GTM Research Reserves Environmental Education Center, EEC, thank you for shortening that, provides a one-of-a-kind opportunity for people of all ages to learn about the many functions of the coastal and estuarine ecosystems and the natural history of Northeast Florida. And whereas countless National Estuaries Week activities occur nationwide, from photography contests, canoe trips, estuary cleanups, exhibits, and guided walk or boat tours, now therefore be it proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, that September 19th through the 26th, 2015, be celebrated as National Estuaries Week, and we encourage all citizens to take the opportunity to learn more about our estuaries and the vital role that they play. Signed this 15th day of September, 2015, City of Palm Coast, John Nets, Mayor.
Thank you so much. Councilmember DiLorenzo and the rest of the council, thank you so much for having us here to celebrate your estuaries. We really appreciate the support that you provided over the 16 years that the Research Reserve has been in existence. Both you, your staff, especially folks such as Denise Bevan and the citizens of Flagler County, we encourage you to come out and enjoy your estuaries during this week and whenever you can. Go canoeing or kayaking or on the water. Do a little fishing. Just enjoy the wildlife that's out there and make sure that you work to help protect those estuaries by doing your part as you continue to do. Thank you again so much, and we'd love to have you out on a visit at any time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Agenda item number three, proclamation recognizing September 17th through September 23rd as Constitution Week.
Whereas the Constitution of the United States of America is the guardian of our liberties and embodies the principles of limited government in a republic dedicated to rule by law, not by people, and whereas September 16th, 2015, marks the 228th anniversary of the signing of the Constitution of the United States of America by the 1787 Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official recognition to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary and to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate this grand occasion, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issue of a proclamation each year by the President of this great country designating September 17th through September 23rd, 2015 as Constitution Week. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Palm Coast does hereby proclaim September 17th through September 23rd, 2015 as Constitution Week in the City of Palm Coast, and we urge all citizens to reaffirm the ideals of the framers of the Constitution by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us by this guardian of our liberties, remembering that lost rights may never be regained. Signed this 15th day of September 2015, City of Palm Coast, Florida, John Nutz, Mayor.
On behalf of Old Kings Highway Chapter, National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution, we wish to thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item number 4, proclamation recognizing October as Raise the Pink Flag with the Pink Army Month.
Yay!
Here comes the Pink Army.
Good morning, all.
Mr. Mayor, Council. Whereas breast cancer is the most frequently diagnosed cancer in women, with 231,000 new cases expected in women this year, ranking it second among all cancer deaths and accounting for nearly 1 in 8 cancers diagnosed in the U.S. In U.S. women, and whereas 2,350 new cases of breast cancer will be diagnosed in men this year, and whereas only 1 in 8 women diagnosed with breast cancer have a family history, and 85% have no family history, with an increase in incidence rates since 1990 being predominantly in women 50 years or older, and whereas early detection with timely screening mammograms has helped to boost the breast cancer survival rate to more than 2.6 million in the United States, also resulting in a 33% decline in mortality since 2000, with women under 50 seeing an even larger decrease due to early screening and detection. And whereas Florida Hospital's Pink Army has 40,000 soldiers strong, all spreading the word about the importance of annual breast cancer screening, and whereas the City of Palm Coast is joining in many activities of Florida Hospital Flagler's Pink Army to fight breast cancer by kicking off this year's Pink Army efforts at Food Truck Tuesdays on September 15th and by holding the Pink Army 5K Walk Run on October 11th, events that will directly benefit the community with proceeds going to extend education and provide mammograms for many more qualified women. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed, the Palm Coast Mayor and City Council hereby proclaim October 2015 as Raise the Pink Flag with the Pink Army's Month in support of breast cancer awareness and encourage all women to pursue early breast cancer screening and other possible diagnostic services to avoid becoming one of the nation's mortalities. Signed this 15th day of September 2015, City of Palm Coast, John Netz, Mayor.
Come on up, Ken.
Just very excited. We salute the Council of Palm Coast, the mayor. We thank you for your support. We believe that these are important initiatives that help improve the health status of our community. And again, thank you very much for your support.
Good picture. Can everybody tell you where you're going today?
Yes, Keith, by all means.
Come on down. Gotta come up. Yeah, you need to get your face. I'll get on this side so we can Mayor, he's on a scooter.
I'm scootering today.
We'll get pictures tonight with the mayor. He's still rolling. All right. I'm gonna take a couple. 1, 2, 3. We'll do one more.
I will add, we do have what we call, at the Pink Army 5K, we do have what we call the turtle. And the turtle is the person that follows the crowd for the last person. Mayor, if you're in the scooter, you can be our turtle.
Thank you very much. Just to reiterate, we are kicking off this with Food Truck Tuesday, which is this evening at 6 o'clock. My wife Priscilla, who is a breast cancer survivor, and I will be there to make some opening remarks. So I hope to see a lot of folks turn out to enjoy some great food with a portion of the proceeds going to a very great cause. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 5, appoint 4 members for the Code Enforcement Board. Mr. Landon, would you like to give an explanation?
Yes, this is an annual appointment. There are 4 openings. 3 are regular members and 1 is an alternate. Of the 3 regular members, 2 of those members have asked to be reappointed. There's a little bit of a quirk in this one is that, so you have to, and you have 4 people who have applied, but you're going to have to designate which of those 4, what 3 would be regular members and which one would be an alternate. One of the existing members, Mr. Monkford, has been appointed twice before, and therefore it takes a 4/5 vote. In other words, 4 out of 5 of you must vote to approve him for him to be reappointed for a 3rd term. We thought the easiest way to do this would be one at a time and start with the existing seats, if that's okay with you, Mayor. So I think Virginia is going to pass down ballots. And the first one would be for Mr. Monkford's seat. Is that what we're doing, Virginia?
Sure.
Okay.
Is there a motion to reappoint Norm Monkford to the board?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries without objection.
The next seat is an incumbent is Ms. McDowell. She's only been serving for 1 term, so it will only take a simple majority, 3 of you, to reappoint her. accomplished.
I'm sorry?
5 votes for Tamika McDowell.
Is there a motion to appoint McDowell?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection.
Your next one would be the last unfilled regular seat. So whoever you vote for, you have two options on this, Mr. Carruth or Mr. LaPadula, if I'm pronouncing that right. And so it would take a simple three votes, and whoever gets the three votes of this will be the regular member, and then the one who is left would be the alternate, is the way we would anticipate this happening.
Is there a motion to appoint Mr. Carruth as a regular member of the board and Mr. LaPadula as an alternate?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Just a comment of thank you for not only for the Code Enforcement Board, but for all of our citizens who serve as volunteers on a variety of boards throughout the city. This is where citizen input becomes very important to the processes of city government. Thank all of them for their service. Agenda item number 6. This is the consent agenda. There are 11 items on the consent agenda, 6 through 11. This is the opportunity for anyone from the public who wishes to speak on any of these items before the board votes on them as a group. Does anyone wish to speak on items 6 through 11? Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion meeting. Go back to council. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as it exists, or does anyone wish to remove anything for further discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Good. This brings us to the public participation portion of meeting. This is the opportunity for the public to speak on any item not on today's agenda. Come up to the podium, give us your name. Please limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Jack Carroll, Palm Coast. One question. When you open up the new City Hall, are we going to have these kind of seats, or are we going to have something a little more comfortable?
We'll get an answer to your question.
Your Honor and Counsel, Mr. LaGuardia has asked for an additional 2 minutes. This would require the Council's concurrence.
By consensus, will the Council award Mr. LaGuardia 2 additional minutes?
Yes, but I'll just say, Mr. LaGuardia, you always ask for more time, so please.
Not always.
Well, pretty much always. So.
Do I get a bonus if I finish within 3?
You get a standing round of applause.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much, Counsel, and good morning.
Additional 2 minutes.
Okay, good morning. Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to resurrect the charter. In my opinion, with an election coming up, the current rules may be precluding good and talented people. For example, quickly, the current charter says you need 1% of the constituents for cards in your district. It's becoming unwieldy, especially to people who may not have a set organization. In addition, it says the charter right now, or pay 10% of the salary of $1,200. Your salaries are big now. You're at the $10,000 range. So that means someone has to put up $1,000. This is not fair. This doesn't encourage good and talented people to come aboard. My second subject are vacant lots in high-density housing areas. Our city is 15 years old and it's in its infancy. Palm Coast was created 45 years ago. These lots, the benefits, they are dirty. They are overgrown. They are dangerous. They impede swale drainage. They are a fire hazard and contain 20 to 30, on average, 60 to 80 foot mature pine trees, which do nothing to enhance value and seriously affect our citizens. I've spoken with many tree removal companies, and they claim this is a problem that's replete throughout Palm Coast. Remember, I'm talking high-density housing areas. If you go around and look at some of these homeowners who have bought adjoining lots and now maintain them, how beautiful they look as opposed to the Wild West. Folks, we are no longer a tree-farming community, and this is the 21st century, and we really should do something to accommodate your citizens. Possible solutions? Maybe. If a lot has been vacant for 10 years or more, the council may decide to say, it's time, and you're in a high-density area, to denude it and maintain it. Remember, lot owners don't contribute very much, $250 to $350 per year for a standard 80 by 125. Continuing along, turn the page. I'd like to talk about the Palm Harbor development. I commend the development of the development company, and I would hope the council is embracing this organization. For example, I've heard many complaints of, where is our downtown? It ain't down there in the town center, but it is beginning here with this development. And I can see in the future that this firm may migrate across Old Kings into the Staples Center, and then you really have the foundation of a good downtown area. And finally, this is not something, a commentary that the council can take and do something about. But I'd like to reference the media, the local media in our city. What I mean is, we hear so often about the divisiveness between the city, between the county, and a great deal of animosity toward elected officials and comments which are at times truly vile and crude. You see this repeatedly in the local media, but they never report when some organizations do some wonderful things, like the Palm Coast Bible Church, which gave out free gas recently. They give out crackers, cookies, and luncheons to officials of the fire department, police department. They help the elderly. I would like to see more than this. And you may say, Vince, why? Because other people of importance look into local media. And these businesses, CEOs, corporate development people, when they see the antagonism and the vile comments, they say, oh, no, that's not for us. So I think truly it's time to grow up. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you very much.
How much time did he use?
4 minutes exactly. Next speaker.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Ralph Lightfoot. I live in the F section. A few months ago, I sent an email to all of you about the possibilities of looking at the possibility of increasing the salaries of the city councilman. I would like to know where we stand on that. And the other thing is, why do you think there's such a low turnout to these meetings when you're conducting such important business? Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll get an answer to your question, I hope. Next speaker. Next speaker. Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion meeting, come back to council. But first, let's see if we can answer some of the questions. What are the nature of the seating in the new city hall?
First of all, these chairs will stay here. I mean, this facility still will need chairs, and so the tables will stay here, et cetera. The seating in the new city hall is going to be movable, but they will be, I think, nicer chairs than these hard plastic chairs. They will be softer and more comfortable. But they are movable, so we have flexibility in the space.
Then we had a series of issues raised, one about the charter, hearkening to the last speaker. Mr. LaGuardia already gave us a raise, apparently, citing council's salaries at $10,000. I don't believe it's $10,000 yet. The answer to the question is, unlike the county commission, whose salaries are established by the state constitution, our charter specifies that city council can propose and vote on a raise. Thus, there's been one, I believe, since our inception, one increase. Anytime City Council feels that they want a raise, they're welcome to bring the issue forward. Certainly, if the public feels City Council should be paid more, feel free to share that with your council members as you share all your other concerns. As far as the eligibility for being on the ballot, 1% or 10% of the salary, that's something council could look at, but you do need some kind of a threshold. Otherwise, you will have a ballot that will be filled with people who really are not committed. But again, City Council can look at that anytime they choose. Vacant lots and trees. I question, Mr. Liguori, that there are 60 or plus pine trees of towering heights on the vacant lots.
When you say that.
But I think you did, but we'll look at your notes. We'll look at the record. The issue is that it's private property. And for the city to require you to clear a lot and then maintain it, I think would be an unreasonable burden on somebody who owns a piece of vacant property that has not been developed. Additionally, if you look at our land development code, if you have an undeveloped lot, you are not supposed to clear it, because unless you then sod it or put down some kind of ground cover, you are going to promote significant erosion into our canals. Again, that's something City Council can look at if we feel the trees become a problem. I appreciate the positive comments about Palm Harbor, soon to be Island Walk. Looking forward very much to that. And I think, just for my own sake, when a corporation such as that invests the significant amount of money that they are, it's a clear indication that they have confidence in the future of this city. The issue of salaries, again, we've addressed that. Anytime City Council wants to, they can. Now, the final question, this is one, why...
Your Honor, may I interject?
Sure, please.
The salaries, the City Council salaries are paid out of the general fund, are they not?
Yes.
So, and any increase in a salary of the City Council member or the mayor would be reflected in the amount of ad valorem taxes that we need.
Unless you take the money from some other account, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. The issue, why is there a low turnout at council meetings, or for that matter at county commission meetings, or for that matter at local and state and federal elections?
School board meetings.
School board. There's two possible answers, and depending whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. The pessimist says that people are so disenchanted, their votes don't really matter, their voices aren't heard, and they're not willing to invest any time in a futile endeavor. The optimist says that by and large, they're happy with the way things are going. There's no question in my mind that when there's something that resonates with the residents, that makes them upset, that makes them come together, they're here en masse to speak on behalf of a particular issue. But I tend to take the more optimistic point of view that if you don't have a large turnout, it's probably because people are relatively happy with the status quo. That, of course, is my opinion and my opinion only. I don't choose to speak for City Council.
It may be the chairs also.
We'll see. If we have an upholstered chair in the new City Hall and we get an increase in turnout, we will attribute it to the chairs. Thank you, Ms. Shibley. Okay. Discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Ms. Shibley, why don't we start with you?
I love Ralph Lightfoot's idea, and I think everyone should come forward and talk about that. City Council getting a raise. Seeing we get to vote on it ourselves, I think everyone should come forward on that.
Thank you.
That's it.
Mr. DiLorenzo.
I have nothing.
Mr. Nobile.
Yes. Since the charter was brought up again, I firmly believe that a charter review is currently necessary. We have many items in the charter that we need to look at that were written, you know, at the early days of the city, which wasn't that long ago, but dramatic changes have taken effect, have been infected since that time. Now, one of the things that we bring up here is the are the salaries for the council. I, as I mentioned earlier, am one who is not comfortable with deciding whether or not the council should have raises or what their salary should be. That's why I think that would be something we would leave up to a charter review board in order to decide if that's even an issue that needs to come up, along with other issues, the, some that, that Vince has brought up and others. I also got information from Mr. Canfield, the previous mayor who, of Palm Coast, who was part of the part in the process of creating the charter. His statement is this: the two things that Palm Coast needs to do in order to continue to grow are, one, we need to get more involved with seniors, we need a senior center, and two, we need to do a charter review. The charter review is at time where it needs to be done. Now, this is from one of the creators. His intention, or his idea of the intention of the statement in the charter that says that the charter shall be reviewed after no less than 10 years, is not an option. It is after the 10-year period, it should have been reviewed. So I would like to ask the council if we can come to some consent on a workshop where we can decide how to approach this. Not necessarily make the decisions on, okay, we want to do this, we want to, but how do we, is this something that we should be doing? And I want discussion on that, and then how should we do it? Via a charter board, or should we just bring items up one by one for the council to decide? So I'm asking if we can have consent or get consent on bringing that to a very near future workshop that we can discuss.
Okay. Mr. McGuire.
I'd like to ask if Mr. Lannon, can you, from time to time when we look at various financial things, we look at other cities in Florida that are roughly our size. Could we accumulate some data that says, of cities that are roughly our size, how many city council members do they have and what do they pay them?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
Discussion by city attorney. Well, actually, before we move to the city attorney, I will just offer a few comments about the concept of charter review. Mr. Nobile correctly asserts that the initial charter prohibited charter revision other than Scrivener's errors for the first 10 years. It is permissive thereafter, not mandatory. The charter may be reviewed after 10 years. There are several ways in which charter review can be initiated, or charter amendments can be initiated. One, City Council on its own can propose an amendment to the charter, which would then be put on the ballot and it would be voted upon by the public. Number two, the public by referendum, by petition, can collect signatures for proposed charter amendments, and if they achieve sufficient signatures, those proposals are put on the ballot. Third possibility is for the City Council to appoint a charter study commission. The results of that charter study commission, the proposals, the recommendations are then put on the ballot. So there are several ways in which the charter can be reviewed. Thus far, City Council has discussed this at previous workshops and has not felt the need for charter amendments. The public has not generated any sufficient number of petition signatures, and the idea of a charter study commission remains a possibility for the city to look at.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. DeLorenzo.
I'm under the impression that how our charter reads is that the charter, a charter review would come back to City Council for what would go on the ballot, not the review would go directly to the ballot.
Correct. We'll leave that for the city attorney. You may be correct.
Okay.
I am stating that based on the charter review proposal that the county went through several years ago.
And I believe there's a difference there.
They had the option of appointing a chartered commission whose decision would be what goes on the ballot, or a charter review committee that was advisory to the commission. In their case, they appointed a charter review committee, made recommendations to the county. The county chose not to take action on them. But Mr. Reichman?
Mr. Mayor, Council, you're all right, and I'd like to be able to say that. Under the state statute in Chapter 166, and we've talked about this before, it basically, as you said, Mr. Mayor, provides that the governing body by ordinance, which you started your discussion, can propose an amendment to the charter to the voters. Or the voters, the electors, can have enter into a petition signed by 10%, this is under 166.031, of the registered electors as of the last preceding municipal general election. And then it goes on to say that notwithstanding any other provisions in any local government's charter, any municipality charter, those charters can be amended in those ways. And that's important because in our charter it says, in our charter, Palm Coast Charter, it says that to propose a charter amendment you have to have 25% of the qualified electorate. See, that would be trumped. That would be overridden by the 10%. So that's one difference right there. And the other difference is what you all were talking about, and that's the charter review committee. Because that's not really charter review is not really mentioned as one of the means, Mr. Mayor, as you know, in the statutes. But it is in our charter. And it's a five-member committee appointed by this council, and their recommendations come back to the city council, who shall hold a minimum of two public hearings on the proposed changes. So that's the process.
And then after the two public hearings, what?
Goes to the general electorate.
Proposed or as revised by city council?
As proposed. The city council shall hold a minimum of two public hearings on the proposed changes to the charter prior to placing the proposed changes on the scheduled general election ballot.
Okay. So that's a commission form where the decision of that commission or committee, as it call it.
Yeah, that's what your charter says.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I mean, yeah. And that's what we're guided by.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Sure.
Mr. Reichman, the portion of the charter that states that the review will
right.
shall occur, does the term shall not mean
must? It does contain the word shall, but you have to read it the whole
well, what
sentence.
About the intent of the original scribers?
Well, that's something
I spoke to and said it was intended to, after 10 years, be reviewed.
If you ever got to the point that matter was became adversarial,
yeah.
and it would have to be litigated. If the court would a court would first have to find that there is an ambiguity, in order to mm-hmm. go back and look at the legislative intent of the people, the individuals that created this, in order to get to that extra step in the analysis of these words, the court would first have to make a threshold finding that there was an ambiguity. And the language, just so everyone understands, and I know you're familiar with it, Councilmember Nabil, but it says the charter shall be reviewed no sooner than 10 years after the creation of the city of Palm Coast in 1999, and thereafter it may be reviewed every 10 years. It's been my opinion that the most logical and reasonable interpretation is that it is permissive, as the mayor said, that it is permissive. It could not be reviewed prior
right,
to the 10
right.
years, but after that, it could be reviewed, and then every 10 years thereafter.
Okay, so all optional.
I would like to add that after 10 years, the city council at that time did review the charter and actually proposed a charter amendment for the voters to consider, and that was the changing of the election years for city council. So they actually did go through that process of reviewing the charter at that time, determining if changes were necessary. So the idea that after 10 years it wasn't reviewed is
yeah.
people aren't remembering the fact that
well,
the
that's
city council
you know, I'm talking about an official review, and I'm talking about a review by the people, not by the council. I'm just, you know, I know people are flipping their eyes and going, oh my gosh, here we go again. But I mean, I got to apologize. The last time we discussed this, it was more of
a mini battle royale. There was some things that occurred in the council that I was not aware of earlier in that year, and it was a sore spot to mention the charter review. So it was not a valid discussion on should this be done, how should this be done, and to piggyback on Mr. McGuire's request, is if we look at other cities of our size and term, they do that regularly, a lot of them hold a charter review committee constantly. There's a committee that meets and they constantly talk and make decisions. Port Arnett. There's a right near us, right around us is what I'm talking about. I'm not suggesting changes. See, this is not, I don't want to sit here and talk about this needs to change, this needs to change, this year. We have citizens who are requiring things to change, so there should be a citizen board to decide if the feedback they get for that is even valid, worthy, and then they can bring it to us, and it's citizen driven, not board driven. That's all I got to say about that.
Thank you. I have one comment. I disagree with you wholeheartedly that there was not a valid discussion of this. It was discussed at any time, at any city council workshop, at any city council meeting. Any member of the council can propose the creation of a charter study commission. It would take three votes in order for that to happen. You have not so far had three people willing to go down that road. But at any time that three council members want a charter review commission, they can create it.
Mr. Mayor, can we then put it in the next workshop?
You certainly can. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Just one matter. I saw this in one of the recent publications in Florida involving the Florida League, and obviously the legislature is going to get together, the Florida legislature, and one of the items that the Florida League is promoting, and this has been something that's been relevant to so many cities, including the city of Palm Coast, is stormwater fee collection. And the current status of the laws is that other governments, some do, but some have taken the position because they can't be sued. Unless they have an interlocal agreement, receive the benefits of stormwater collection, but have not paid for the fees, and obviously there's some inequities associated with that, and that is something that the Florida League of Cities hopes to address in this next legislative session. So I just wanted to make sure that the council was aware that is something that is on the agenda for the Florida League of Cities, and arguably is relevant to the city of Palm Coast.
Thank you. Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Mayor, City Council, you've asked for an update at the last time regarding a couple of kind of long-term issues, one of them being the abandoned Matanzas Woods golf course property, and then also our community cats program. So Barbara is in charge of both of those, so she's going to give you a little update and a briefing on those two items that you requested at your last workshop.
Good morning, Mayor, City
morning.
Council.
Al Blucher.
First, we'll talk about Matanzas property. I'll give you a little bit of an update in the history of it and tell you where we're at with it today. In April of 2015, a notice of violation to the owners, the group Golf of Palm Coast, was issued. May, in violation, and we posted it for it to go to June Code Board. In June, staff recommended continuance to meet with the owner, so we continued it from the June Code Board to try to get compliance through meeting with the new owners. In July, it was still in violation, so we posted it for hearing for August Code Board. In August, it was still in violation when we went to Code Board. Code Board gave them 14 days to get compliance or $500 per day for every day that they are in noncompliance. And August staff also met with the property owner, and we met with Stormwater and Denise Bevan with some current concerns of storm drainage. minimum standards for the golf course, and also zoning and wetland issues. Denise Bevan put out a branch and said, yeah, I'll help you in any way we can. In August, they're still in violation. In September, we scheduled them for code board, and they will be going to the November code board, and we will be applying a fine to the property. As of this date, the fine is $10,000. Staff also at that time is going to ask the board for the authority to start the foreclosure proceedings for the golf course.
That last statement, I want to make sure people understand that when we start foreclosure proceedings, that means that it will be placed up for sale by the county, and not foreclosed as into us taking over the property.
Correct.
But foreclosed so that a buyer could buy the property and pay off the debt on the property. So this would not have the city own the property, but it would turn it over to another property owner if we ever get to that point.
If we get to that point, yes, sir. There's also another case that is open that is in reference to the fire marshal going out there to maintain all systems, devices, and equipment to detect fire. That is an open case. In July, the inspection was done by the fire marshal. A notice of violation was issued. August, the fire marshal received an email by the owner that the buildings were going to be demoed. Then we also received an email in the same month by the two property owners, Mr. Richardson and Michael Yoakum. And Michael Yoakum wanted to discuss the matter of the violation concerning maintaining all system and devices and equipment to detect fires, because it's really not an occupied building. And we hadn't heard anything from them, and yesterday we received an email that there will be a teleconference today at 1:30 with the city attorney, myself, Mr. Landon, in that matter. There is also a case open for a property that is adjacent to London, 185 London, which is an overgrown nuisance. Part of the property is leaning on somebody's fence, so that has been scheduled for the city to remedy, invoice the property owner, and if payment's not made, then a lien could be placed on the property. There is also a wildfire hazard mitigation, which is also another property that is out there that abuts a residential lot, and that was issued in July. A reinspection was done in August, and the city will remedy next month if not in compliance.
Can I ask you a question, Barbara?
Yes, sir.
What is that mitigation again? That
wildfire
space?
Mitigation?
Yeah.
30 feet.
From what?
From the structure.
From the structure of one property, 30 feet into the
other. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It's basically 15 and 15, is it not?
Yes, yes,
15
sir.
Foot on your own property and 15 foot on the adjacent property.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah, to whatever you have to equal the 30 feet. So if I have a 10-foot setback, it would be 20 foot into the other property to equal that 30 feet.
Minimum.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, Council, as far as just to follow up on what Barbara said, as far as the violations that exist out on what formerly known as the Matanzas Golf Course, I think it's important to make the distinction between the overgrowth, which has been a substantial issue and a substantial problem to the neighborhood out there, and that's the one where we had the finding at the code board in August.
Correct.
And the fine is accruing. There will be a Massey hearing in November, and obviously the discussion about the request for the foreclosure. The structures were a separate issue. Those were not the subject of the code board hearing, because at that point in time, even though there was the ongoing discussion about the fire issue on those have been boarded up. And I remember, you may remember at this council, there were some people that came in from the neighborhood and expressed some great concern about safety issues. That part of the problem out there has been addressed. So I think it's important for the public and this council to understand that certainly we have a lot of problems out there, still have a lot of problems, but that is one that has been rectified, and we're still moving forward on the issue regarding the fire safety issue with regard to the structures.
In August, 7 of the 18 holes were mowed. In September, 9 of the 18 holes were mowed. So that's a 50%. And there's areas that we can't see unless they invite us onto the property to see. So that's where we stand with Matanzas property as of today.
Barbara, didn't in that code board hearing, didn't we say that if they did not comply within, I think it was 14 days, that there would be a fine that immediately went into place?
Yes, sir, $500 a day, and as of today, it's $10,000.
Okay.
And it will go to the code board to apply that fine to the property.
So the application of the fine isn't automatic. It has to go before the code board? I thought it had already been approved.
It has, but in order to, that's where it goes back to the Massey to apply and tell the board how many days
Barbara,
it's been.
Barbara, could you explain a little bit of what a Massey hearing is?
I'm going to let Mr. Reichman, because he did such a good job last time.
Well, that's a term of art that in our industry we use. There was a property owner some years ago that challenged the process that was used over in the Tampa area. And so it was the City of Tampa versus, I think it was City of Tampa versus Mr. and Mrs. Massey. So what came out of that decision is that there had to be a separate hearing before the Code Enforcement Board to provide due process for what Mr. McGuire is asking for. And the answer to Mr. Councilmember McGuire, yes, there is a fine. It is running. It's $500 a day. Right now, as of today, that fine has accrued and will continue to accrue at $500 a day until there is compliance. The distinction, and it's a real distinction, not just a legal distinction, is that there is a fine which is running and it's accruing, but it has not attached to the title to the real property, has not become a lien yet. And so for that to occur, that's what the second DCA said. In order before the fine turns into a lien, the property owners who have this fine running against their property title need to have a second opportunity to argue that they are in compliance or they're not in compliance, or to contest the amount of the fine. Once that's done, once that hearing, that Massey hearing occurs, due process has been held, and the order that comes out of that hearing from the Code Enforcement Board is then recorded in the public records here in Flagler County, and that quantification of the fine becomes a lien on the real property, which for non-homestead property can be foreclosed.
But Mr. Reichman, in the code enforcement hearing, I'm trying to clarify this in my own mind, the property owner was there.
Yes, sir.
And was told what the fine would be and told how it would work. And he said, oh, it's not going to be a problem. I've hired people. We're going to get all this done. But he didn't contest the $500 a day or the findings of the code board.
And that is not up again. He doesn't get a second bite at that apple. The only subject of this next hearing is the, there's two issues. Is the property in compliance or not? See, because that's only something that could have happened since he was last there and had due process at the first hearing. So is the property in compliance or not? And that's usually not an issue, because usually the city representatives and the property owner can agree on whether the property is in compliance or not. The bigger issue, if you have a contested Massey hearing, the only thing that they fight about is the number of days of the fine. And that's something that can't be determined at the first hearing because the fine hasn't started yet.
Well, what is the next course of action should the property owner simply fail to comply with the code board's directions and just not do it?
And that's exactly what the only step that really is allowed to a local government is to take action on its lien. So we have the Massey hearing. Pardon me for continuing to use that term. The fine will be quantified. It'll be recorded. And then at that point in time, the city can request for a foreclosure. And again, it's a procedural step to make sure to bring additional pressure to bear, not to make money off the property. It's not like we're trying to make money, but this is the hammer that the statutes and the legislature has given local governments under this process to try to enforce and convince property owners to bring their properties into compliance with the codes.
And that's my entire point. The citizens out there want the property cleaned up. Either the property owner is going to do it or he's not.
And if he's not going to do it, then the property owner in this case or in any other case could face a foreclosure and a foreclosure sale. And at that foreclosure sale, which is held publicly noticed, other individuals in the community can come forward and make a bid.
What if there is no bid? Who does the responsibility of maintaining that property move on to somebody else?
If there's no bid, then the title would go to the foreclosing entity, and that at that point in time,
County.
The city it'd be the City of Palm Coast, and then we would market it and sell it.
But at that point, then it would be our responsibility to...
For that brief period of time that the city was the owner, absolutely.
I'm afraid about that brief word.
But you have to understand, in this particular case, there's a pending foreclosure action brought by the first mortgagee against the property owner, which is my understanding is scheduled to go to court in later this year or first thing next year.
Right, and so, your point of that, Mayor, your point of that is they're not going to give it away.
They have a significant investment. My understanding is it's six figures that they have loaned out, or more than that, on this property. So if I can't imagine that they would not intervene in the foreclosure, and you certainly don't want to predict the future, but I would imagine a representative from the first mortgagee would be at that foreclosure hearing.
In summary, it sounds like a very convoluted process, and in fact it is, because we must recognize and abide by private property rights. You cannot simply take somebody's property because you think it's a good idea or because a majority of the people think it's a good idea. The state has set forth very clear guidelines to protect not only the rights of the city, but to protect the private property owner's right. The Massey hearing is their last chance to be sure that they've been awarded due process. Convoluted process, but eventually it'll work. The problem, of course, from the public perception, is the process takes an inordinately long amount of time. But the end is in sight.
And that brings us to the Players Club. And the Players Club has been going on for some time. I'll give you a little past history. We had cases open in November, December of 2014, and February of 2015 for unsecure structure, unsecure clubhouse, the pool, and accumulation of trash. They came into compliance, and the cases were closed. Prior to that, past code board cases that went were in 2012, which was, again, screen enclosure and disrepair, fence and disrepair, structure disrepair, graffiti, and paint. And board up. At that point in time, in 2012, that's when we originally boarded up and painted the Players Club to have the appearance that it was not abandoned. So from 2012 to now, 2015, we've had issues with it as far as fires, break-ins, graffiti, so it's a repetitive thing. So in July of 2015, the fire marshal was called out there because of the fire, and again was issued for unsecured building with a reinspection of 45 business days, which those business days were up yesterday. So we're awaiting the fire marshal's reinspection results as to the next step that we take. If still in non-compliance, then it will be scheduled for the next available code board. And then we would go down the same path as we're doing with the Patanzas golf course, as far as going through the foreclosure.
It probably has no bearing on the city's actions, but there appears to be a sign saying sale pending.
There is a sign saying sale pending. We have been in response with the realtor as of yesterday. There are some previous liens on the property for the administrative costs. There's two of them in the amount of $420. And there is a title company that is talking with us. So we can only hope that the actions are, again, they've indicated also that they would demo the entire site, but so did Matanzas, and we're just a little closer on Matanzas than we are at the Players Club.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Mr. Land?
Yes, he has one more.
The community cats. The Palm Coast Community Cat Diversion. I know this is dear to Heidi, and I have been working with the Humane Society. I received a call yesterday from Tara, which is a part of the legal team in Bill Reichman's office, so we will be discussing that today. We already have kind of started it. We have community cats. Also, I was reading the paper, and I saw their advertisement already out there. So we're in the process of getting it finalized, and I hope to have it finalized by the end of the month.
Okay. I had actually seen on social media some areas that they're marking TNR, and that's why I had contacted you, because I knew that wasn't part of us.
Right. That is not part of us. That's not something we're going to put out there. But we haven't seen anything, and so if there is a location, because I even had staff go online to social media too to see, and we don't have any signage. We won't have any signage. It shouldn't be any, you shouldn't even notice that they're there.
Okay.
That is actually one of the challenges, is that there are a variety of groups out there doing different things, and we are trying to work with the Humane Society to see if we can't pull it all together. I also have been asked, if we're finished with those updates, for an update on our retail recruitment efforts. I had a council member ask for an update on that, so we've had some, I consider to be good progress, so I thought Bo could give you an update on that this morning.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor, Council. The contract with Buxton Company was signed July 21st. Within 60 days, which is coming up here next week, is kind of their 60-day implementation timeline. We've had a couple different milestones reached with Buxton. They did a demographic analysis on three areas in Palm Coast. We chose Bulldog Drive and State Road 100 as one of those choices, since the city owns property there, Palm Coast Parkway and Belterre, and then Matanzas and US 1 as kind of our three nodes of commercial development. They did their demographic analysis. They completed that milestone last week. They delivered the retail matches to the economic development team. I think I sent that out through an email to all of you. And then finally, the last piece they're working on, the last deadline, is to deliver the pursuit packages for each of those retailers. So the plan is within the next week or so, they're going to deliver those. We already have access to their Scout system, which is an electronic system. I've already used it a couple times with the different projects. We had a hotelier looking at Palm Coast, or looking at some existing properties and possibly purchasing, communicate with those individuals. And so our plan is in this last quarter of the calendar year to start the sales process with those retailers that are matched with us, and then leading into the first quarter of next year to start that pursuit of those retailers, attracting them here to Palm Coast. So that's kind of the update. Like I said, we have about a week left for the first rollout of the Buxton products. And then in the first quarter of next year, our plan is to reach out to commercial developers and brokers, and then also pursue some events with the chamber, how the system can help existing businesses. So that's kind of an update.
Of the companies we have that were provided as matches, are we looking at pursuing all of them, or are we going to narrow that down some?
No, we're going to go after all of them. The nice thing about Buxton is these companies not only are a good match, but they're actually in expansion mode. Not all retailers are in expansion mode. So you probably saw some of those on the list that you've noticed in other markets opening stores. So we'll start that process of going, essentially 20 is manageable, and that's why they kind of limited it to those 20. And if you noticed, one of the matches was Aldi, which is currently already announced in our market. So we're going to replace that with another retailer here shortly. So,
couple other just announcements. First of all, the second and final budget hearing is next week, Wednesday, the 23rd, 5:05 p.m. in this room. Also, we have, someone's already mentioned, Food Truck Tuesday tonight. It benefits the Pink Army movement, so that's become very, very popular. And so I would encourage everybody to come out for that nice event. And then we have the senior games going on this week, a variety of competitive sports throughout the community. If anybody's interested in participating, or I guess not participating, but this time being a spectator, because it's too late to sign up, get a hold of Recreation. They can give you the time and dates of all those events. With that, Mayor, I'm one other thing, since we mentioned City Hall, we are on schedule, and we are talking about in about 30 days the move will start, so it's getting very, very close. We're expecting a certificate of occupancy the first week hopefully first week or two in October, and then we can start moving in. So getting close. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Mayor.
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for your participation.